everybody, and welcome to the Patriots Recap Podcast, day two of Patriots training camp in the books. I'm Alex Barth. I am joined today by my colleague from 98.5 The Sports Hub and 98.5thesportshub.com, Matt Dolliff. Matt, you ready to dig into day two here?
Absolutely ready. Look at you, Barth, all grown up, hosting your own podcast at the Sports Hub now. I love it. This is what you're born for.
All right. Hopefully I can make you proud. That's a lot of pressure there.
This is my special boy.
Couple guys who have a lot of pressure on them, Cam Newton, Mac Jones. Let's start with the quarterbacks. I thought yesterday, I know some people gave it to Mac. I thought it was a wash. I didn't think either guy was impressive. Certainly some separation today. That seemed to be the consensus, especially in that later period. Mac Jones goes 2 of 9. Cam Newton goes 4 of 5. Matt, Did you see enough to put today in Cam Newton's win column?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the way he finished anyway, the recency bias might be there. And it's sort of hard to tell how they looked at the far end of the field. You know, we have, cheap binoculars, and it's a lot easier to see when they're at the other end of the field when they're right in our face. But, I mean, Cam Newton finished strong. I mean, I think he wanted to respond to yesterday's late session where he did not look good at all. He sailed a few passes and threw an interception, which, if I'm not mistaken, was on his final pass attempt on the first day of training camp. So today he really wanted to respond. He showed a really good sense of urgency, I thought. You know, I think he was, you said 4 or 5. I thought it was 5 or 6. I don't know, but apples and oranges, whatever. Tomato, tomato. But, you know, he looked good. He threw a couple touchdowns and he passed the eye test, right? It wasn't exactly simple plays. He made nice darts over the middle. He made a nice good pass to Brandon Bolden that was over the shoulder of the guy covering him, which I think was Josh Uche.
Yep.
And I believe it was in that final session where he had Henry Anderson's arms and hands right in his face, and he had trouble throwing through the trees last year. That was a problem with him getting passes batted down at the line. He threaded it right through and got it to Hunter Henry for another touchdown. So I thought he looked good at the end there. And yeah, overall, it's been a wash. I mean, no guy's really like truly separated himself in terms of like, I'm the clear leader in the pack. But I think Cam Newton's done enough to keep his hold on that number one spot. Mac Jones hasn't done nearly enough to say, I need to be the starter right away, which I know a lot of people want, but I don't think it's realistic at all. And I think that was evidenced by some of the problems that Mac Jones had today.
Right. And you mentioned, I just want to real quick double back, the throw to Brandon Bolden from Cam Newton. It was an out route, option route, side of the end zone, just kind of puts it right in the bread basket. It was a nice catch by Bolden too. And I think he's had a good start to camp, but that throw was kind of everything that Cam Newton struggled with last year. And it's just one throw and it's just 2 days, but it's encouraging to see. And like you said, you know, we're a long way out from having to decide who's going to be the starter for week one. But I thought today Cam Newton was certainly the better quarterback today. Mac Jones had his moments. He had one nice throw early on in the session. They were working on goal line and people have talked about the arm strength maybe being a question of his, but he had a football sized window to get that ball through, throwing to Hunter Henry with Kyle Van Noy in coverage. And he just snuck it under Van Noy's arm, like right through the armpit, and got Henry right on the goal line for the touchdown. So that was a great throw, but he comes back that last session, 2 of 9, couple passes knocked down. The body language wasn't great. And that was kind of, you know, we probably saw the best of Cam Newton today. That was, for an individual practice period, maybe the worst we've seen of Mac Jones so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, the accuracy has been there for the most part with Mac Jones. I think where he's struggled specifically is if he's had to throw to the sideline, like if it's a quick back shoulder throw, I think he's thrown a lot of those wide.
And that ties into the arm strength. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The arm strength is never going to be like overly impressive, but it's not, he's not a noodle arm. I mean, he's a little better than that. He's just not going to be, Josh Allen slinging it all over the place, slinging perfect deep balls down the field like Russell Wilson. Like, he's not that kind of quarterback. So he's going to have to be pinpoint accuracy in the short to intermediate areas, and he's going to have to read the defense well. He's going to have to go through his progressions well, which I think he's done a decent job of. I thought he did a good job of that on the first day. Like, we've been talking about this with other reporters behind the scenes that, like, he looks more like a Patriots quarterback than Cam Newton's ever looked. But, I mean, as long as Cam Newton's looking like he did at the end of that session, he's going to maintain that hold on the number one spot. And I think you mentioned that, yeah, Mac Jones is showing visible frustration out there when he's not playing well. And, you know, I like that he wants to do well and he's going to get mad when he doesn't play well. you just don't want to see that frustration show up on the football field. You don't want it to snowball for him. I think that just comes with inexperience. I think that's like a thing that he's going to have to learn, that he's going to make mistakes, and it's about correcting them. It's not about punching the turf every time the ball goes wide. He's just going to focus on the next play. And so, I mean, hopefully that's something that he can overcome when he does start games. I'm saying when, because
right.
You know, we're talking about a first round pick here. So unless he's a total bust, he's going to be the starter eventually, but I think today showed why he's going to need some time. If he's going to start, you know, as a rookie, it's probably going to be later in the season.
And you mentioned the inexperience. I think a lot of that inexperience is just in failure. He didn't fail a ton at Alabama, and I don't want that to come across as saying, you know, oh, he had all these weapons, it was easy for him. I don't think so. I mean, he played very well at Alabama, but he didn't fail a ton. And we talk a lot about a very important trait for quarterbacks is having a short memory. And today you mentioned the term snowballed. I thought in that period, he got a pass knocked down early and it kind of snowballed on him. It got away from him. He had some trouble getting over that. And that's something he's going to have to work on. You have to have a short memory to be an NFL quarterback, and not the, you know, he didn't totally lose his mind. It wasn't a red flag, but not the best example of a short memory today. Elsewhere on the offense, very busy man today, Kendrick Bourne. I don't believe he did actually catch a touchdown for Mac Jones early on, but he was just in sevens and 11s. The ball just seemed to keep finding him. And Nelson Aguilar, as you wrote about for 98.5thesportshub.com, had a big day yesterday. Bourne had a big day today. Jacoby Myers is right in the thick of it. I don't think he's been the best wide receiver on the field, but there's been no negatives. That group in 12 personnel, you're really only going to be able to use two wide receivers. And it feels like there's going to be an odd man out from that group of three, Aguilar, Myers, and Bourne. And it's early, but that feels like it's going to be a very tight competition.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Myers. It could be Myers is the odd man out. Myers rolls up the depth chart basically because there was really no one else in his way. And now he's got two at least decent NFL, like legit NFL wide receivers in his way. And Nelson Aguilar, I mean, who knows if he can be like a true number one receiver, which I think the concept of that is a little overrated. I think you might need a number one pass catcher. It doesn't necessarily have to be a receiver. I think this offense in particular is going to have to run through the tight ends. Like you said, 12 personnel, unpredictability, you know, they don't know if they're going to run or pass out of those formations, and they'll be able to throw to those tight ends. But I think Nelson Aguilar is just going to need to be a complimentary guy. And I think the same thing goes for Kendrick Bourne, who I've liked so far because he's played inside and outside, and we've heard that drops have been an issue for him as well as Aguilar, but wasn't an issue today. He was holding on to everything. And I know Myers made arguably the best catch of the day or the best overall passing play of the day was Mac Jones to Jacoby Myers in the corner of the end zone in an 11-on-11, I think it was. But that's going to be a tight battle. And I know they're going to want to run 11 personnel a lot, but you know, they do want to do the 12 personnel because you heard them calling out for it a lot.
Yeah.
Today. And they were doing it a lot on the goal line and in the red zone. And you know, it could be Jacoby Myers because they paid all this money to these guys and they're starting to show up. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Aguilar and Bourne out there as the two starting receivers.
Anybody else offensively before we get to the defense? Anybody else offensively stand out to you today?
I like what I'm seeing from Damian Harris. And I mean, I know it's sort of hard to glean anything from non-padded practices in the running game.
Look, but this is, we have what we have. Go with it.
Yeah, right. It's Felger Massey. We got to do the show today. it's been run heavy a lot, I think, especially in the red zone goal line stuff, which is, you know, obviously they're going to do that, but he looks like he's gotten a little bigger. I think he told Zolak and Bertrand today when he was on that he hasn't skipped leg day in the offseason is what he said. So, I mean,
right.
I think he might have looked at, Ramondre Stevenson and pickups like Tyler Gaffney, and like he wants that goal line role. He wants that short yardage role. That's something they've lacked in recent years. And so maybe that's something that he's striving to do. He wants to be on the field in those key running situations like third and one, third and short. And, you know, I like what I've seen so far from him. He's been explosive. He does have that strong lower base. And, you know, I think Bill Belichick spoke highly of him today. He was more complimentary of him than he usually is with a lot of players. So Bill likes him. I like him a lot. He's so well-spoken. It's unbelievable the way he talks compared to like any human that I've ever heard in my life, which is impressive. And, you know, hopefully that translates to the field. I like what I've seen so far from him.
I would add too, another guy I thought had a really nice day was Troy Fumagalli. He made a couple of nice catches.
Yep.
He grabbed one 50-50 ball over Adrian Phillips. He had another 50-50 ball over a corner, made a nice athletic catch in the back corner of the end zone at one point. And I think, you know, obviously the top two tight ends are going to be Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, but this team is going to carry three, maybe four. And Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene, you'd like to think have the inside track, but neither one of them are practicing right now. Asiasi's dealing with COVID, Keene's on PUP, and somebody's got to take those snaps while they're not out there. It looks like Fumagalli's making the most of the opportunity, and it's just one day. But if he puts together two, three, four more days like he did today, and then you throw in the fact that he's a great blocker too. I mean, he's an excellent blocking tight end. He's going to put himself in that conversation for one of those depth tight end spots. I don't think they'd keep five, but over Keene, I think we could absolutely be looking at that conversation if Fumagalli keeps playing like he played today.
Yeah, just the fact that we're noticing him and he's out there making catches, making plays is a great development for him. And I mean, yeah, we obviously got the top two tight ends, and you almost forget about Asiasi and Keene because they didn't play a ton as rookies. And obviously you got Asiasi dealing with COVID, you got Keene on PUP. And so, I mean, they're falling behind. It's going to be disappointing if those two can't make traction on the roster here. And we got to go with old Fumagalli down there. But, you know, it looks like Fumagalli's going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, it definitely liked what I saw from him today. We'll see what happens when we get to the preseason. Defensive side of the ball. We talked a lot about defense yesterday. It was a defensively driven day. I'd say the defense won the day again today, maybe a little less dominant, but they certainly turned in another strong performance. Any particular defensive players catch your eye today?
Yeah, I mean, my big overall takeaway from the first 2 days is that the defense is still way ahead of the offense. And not that that's shocking, but I thought it would be closer to even with all the moves that they made to improve the offense. But and defense is going to be
especially without pads too.
Without pads, I mean, shouldn't it be harder for the defense? Because they can't make a lot of contact, but they're covering so well out there. And I thought Kyle Duggar had a good day today. Adrian Phillips was the standout yesterday. So their safeties, I mean, they don't have Gilmore out there right now, and they're still covering really well. And, you know, the glass half empty guy might say that's an indictment on who they have on offense, which is, I think, is a fair question. Like, you know, they're going to be better than last year on offense, but are they going to be particularly good? I think that's a fair question to have, but the defense is going to be really good, man. The safeties don't have to play linebacker this year. They actually didn't have linebackers last year. And now they're flush with linebackers. They're really good in the front seven. And I think that the safeties are going to be put more in position to succeed. And, you know, positions where they are more comfortable doing what they have to do out there. And I think the safeties have really shown up. And I think that that's a great development for them. And I think that's going to be key against teams like Baltimore, you know, teams that emphasize throwing to the tight ends and the running backs. They've had trouble covering tight ends for really a long time right now, other than, you know, Patrick Chung at times was good covering tight ends. But I think, you know, Kyle Duggar and Adrian Phillips, I think that could be a really good combo for them in that area. So I think, you know, the defense in all three levels is going to be so much better than it was last year. And it's going to be the driver of the team. I think that's my big takeaway so far.
And that actually transitions well into something I wanted to bring up. You talked about the safeties not having to play linebacker. And obviously a lot of that is the signings, Matthew Judon, Kyle Van Noy, but Hightower coming back is a huge part of that too. And he's looked fantastic. He took some weight off. So we'll see how he looks coming downhill when he puts the pads on, but he's always been a pretty well-rounded player. That's one of the best elements of his game is he can do a little bit of everything. But the one area you never saw him in a ton was coverage. And at one point today, he was man up on Trey Nixon. And look, Nixon's a rookie, but Nixon's a quick wide receiver, not the kind of guy you think Hightower is going to cover. And he had him. And if Dont'a Hightower is going to contribute in coverage this year, you go from safeties playing linebacker to you're going to be able to put box safeties further back and help protect against some of those up the seam tight ends. So I think Hightower's what he's brought after that year off, and you couldn't help but wonder if there'd be any rust. There's no rust. What he's bringing is adding a whole nother element to the defense right now.
Yeah, Hightower looks lean. That's what something I was going to say before you mentioned that he shed some weight. He's probably going to be a guy that they're going to move around a lot. I think that they're going to be better in the front seven last year, but they're going to be more versatile in the front seven than I think they were even 2 years ago when they had the best defense in the league. And I think they may even be deeper in the front seven that year because they didn't have much on the defensive line in 2019. And I think they're much improved in that area too, with Devon Godchow and Henry Anderson, who, you know, had tried to make that play on Cam Newton that I said earlier, you know, I think those guys are looking pretty good. And, you know, we're not going to be able to tell much until those guys put the full pads on. But you know, the linebackers are going to line up all over the place. They're going to be able to move Hightower and Judon and Uche. And, like, those guys are going to be able to play inside and outside. So I think that could be the engine of the defense, as good as the secondary still could be. So, yeah, I think it's a good development that Hightower's leaner and probably going to be a little faster. And so he's going to be an impact pass rusher, and they're probably going to want him to move around side to side a lot too, and cover. So, I mean, they're going to need that because they've had trouble covering running backs and tight ends in recent years, but I think they're better equipped now than they were even a couple years ago.
So I'm trying to keep this podcast very day to day because we're doing, trying to do every day after training camp. But one big picture question here before we go. Outside of Mac versus Cam, and we talked about that a little bit earlier, is there any other specific position battle you're really interested in, whether it be for a depth chart spot, roster spot, that, you know, you're looking forward to watching as camp goes on?
Well, if Stephon Gilmore is, I mean, going to hold out, who's, like, how's the cornerback situation going to shake out? Because you got J.C. Jackson. And so, like, say he's the obvious choice to be the number one outside corner, then is there an obvious choice for the number two outside corner? I mean, we've seen Jawan Williams in that spot. I think Miles Bryant flashed a little bit last year. Michael Jackson's been getting a lot of play out there. So, I mean, I think that's going to be an interesting battle as far as that whole depth chart is concerned, especially if Gilmore's out. So, I mean, like, we've talked a lot about the linebackers and the safeties, which I think will still be the engine of the defense. But if they're going up against teams with deep wide receiver cores, you're going to want good cornerbacks. And if Gilmore's not out there, who's going to be covering? I think that's the big question for the defense, for sure.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. And the guys you mentioned, we've seen Jalen Mills out there as well. But
Jalen Mills, that was the guy I was
talking about.
Jalen Mills, yes.
Jason McCourty played 65% of the snaps last year for this team. He's gone. And they didn't, unless it's going to be Mills, they didn't bring in an obvious replacement. And Mills is, he can play outside corner, but the value in him is his versatility. He was the only guy last year to play at least 15 snaps at seven different positions on the defense. You pay him and you bring him in to move him around. So if you want to use him in that role at the outside corner, like you said, it's Juwan Williams, it's Michael Jackson. Do they try Miles Bryant despite the fact he's 5'9"? I think it's definitely a position where you look at down the road. Do they go external at the end of camp? But that's a good one. I think that is not just one of the most fascinating position battles, but if this team's really going to make a playoff push, one of the most important position battles, because even when Stephon Gilmore comes back, like I said, Jason McCourty played 65% of the snaps last year. That's not a small role you're trying to fill with as that third outside corner. And it could go to any number of different players right now.
Yeah, that, and I think, like, who's going to be the starting slot receiver? I guess it's going to be Gunnar Olszewski at this point, but I mean, he's made a couple of good catches, but I don't know if he's really separated himself. And, you know, Jacoby Myers, that could be his opportunity to get a lot of snaps because he's played a lot of, you know, the big slot role, so to speak. So I think that's something to keep watching for because there's no clear leader in that category. I think Gunner's making progress as a receiver, but he's still going to need some time to really round out his game, I think, in the passing game anyway.
Well, Gunner did. So he dropped a punt today and he had to run a lap. And instead of running around one field, he ran around both fields. So you know the coaches like that. So we will have plenty more as camp goes on for all things Patriots training camp day two. Make sure you check out 98.5 and 98.5thesportshub.com and follow at Matt Dolliff on Twitter for his recap of the day. I am Alex Barth. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you tomorrow.